And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And we are brought to you by the Tillakill in Frederick, Maryland, the Tillakill Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tillakill Girls. For more on Tillakill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And also, because it's NWHL Tuesday, we're also brought to you by Southern Maryland Comic-Con. Southern Maryland Comic-Con, which takes place Sunday, November 13th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Hollywood, Maryland. Admission's $10, and kids are free. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to somd.mdcomiccons.com. And ladies and gentlemen, today is Tuesday, October 25th, which means it is NWHL Tuesday here on the Experience Hockey Talk, which is all National Women's Hockey League talk here on the podcast. And of course, there are two games this past weekend. You had the New York Riveters visiting the Boston Pride on Saturday, October 22nd, and the Connecticut Whale visiting the Buffalo Buttes on Sunday, October 23rd. And without further ado, we're going to hop right into the action with our first game, which was the Boston Pride and the New York Riveters at the Warrior Ice Arena in Boston, Massachusetts. The Riveters going into this have lost their first two games of the season, while the Pride have remained undefeated through their first three contests this season. Featured players going into this game was Riveters forward Mayo Deonch, who should be happy with her performance as of late, as she's scored a goal in each of her two games. Deonch was actually traded before the start of the season to the Riveters from the Pride in exchange for forward Alex Carpenter. Prior to the NWHL, Deonch played college hockey at Harvard University, where she was named to the All-Ivy League second team. The Pride boasts the most recently named NWHL Player of the Week, Amanda Pelkey, which I still personally feel it should have been Brianne McLaughlin. That's just me. Pelkey carried her team to a victory after scoring the game-winning goal in the fifth round of the shootout against the Buffalo Buttes last Saturday. In her first season with the Pride last year, Pelkey recorded 10 points, 7 goals, 3 assists, and added 4 points, a goal, and 3 assists in the playoffs, helping her team win the inaugural Isabel Cup Championship. Amanda Pelkey is a graduate of the University of Vermont. Now, going into the first period of this game, the New York Riveters would get themselves on the board at even strength when Bray Ketchum would score, assisted by Janine Weber and Alexa Grushko. But then also in the first period, Taylor Holsey of the Riveters would be called for tripping in that period. At the end of the first period, the Riveters would be up 1-0. Shots would be 17-4 in favor of the Boston Pride, which is a lot. And honestly, you know, the fact that the Riveters were able to get one goal out of four shots was really good, but the fact that the Pride dominated them in shots as much as they did, that is a very scary thought for the New York Riveters. And then going into the second period, Zoe Hickel would get on the board for the Boston Pride to tie it up, which would be assisted by Brianna Decker. Then Casey Bellamy would actually get called for boarding, which then, while shorthanded, Alex Carpenter, the daughter of Bobby Carpenter, who used to play in the NHL for both the Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins, would score shorthanded, assisted by Megan Duggan. And then Amanda Pelkey would score at even strength, assisted by Blake Bolden and Alex Carpenter. Then, at the end of the second period, the Boston Pride would be up 3-1. Shots of the period would be 9-7 in favor of the Pride, so a better period for the Riveters in regards to shots that period. And, you know, they're trying to utilize their power play, but they made a mistake. They turned it over, and which resulted in a shorthanded goal against. So, overall, a great period for Boston. They're able to erase that 1-0 deficit, give themselves a 3-1 lead going into the third period. And speaking of the third period, you would have two penalties on the Pride, one on Blake Bolden for tripping and one on Emily Field for high sticking. But none of those would have any impact, as Brianna Decker would score at even strength unassisted, and Gigi Marvin would score at even strength assisted by Alex Carpenter for Boston to take the 5-1 win over the New York Riveters. And the shots totals were 35-17 in favor of the Boston Pride. That is a massive domination by the Pride yet again in another game, especially when it comes to shots. On the power play, the New York Riveters were 0 for 3 and the Boston Pride were 0 for 1. So that's at least one good thing that the New York Riveters can actually take out of this game. And that's the fact that the New York Riveters actually do play a very well-disciplined game in regards to staying out of the penalty box, which is a very good thing to look at. But at the same time, you know, while they had a power play, they coughed it up, and that led to the shorthanded goal by Alex Carpenter, which would eventually lead to the game-winning goal. So, Boston Pride played an all-out dominant game, 35-17 were the shots, 5-1 was the score. Riveters, good game in regards to the discipline, but they need to play better. It was good of them to get the jump that they did in the first period by getting the first goal of the game, but after getting that first goal of the game, they have to sustain that momentum and build upon it. And when you're giving up 17 shots and you're only getting 4 in the first period, that's not sustaining momentum in your favor. So the New York Riveters go to 0-3, the Boston Pride go to a perfect 4-0, and with that, we're going to come back, we're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the Connecticut Whale versus the Buffalo Buttes. Looking for something exciting to do the weekend before Thanksgiving? Then come to DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is November 18th through 20th, 2016, at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey, comes to special guests like Todd Haberkorn, Vic McNoya, Uncle Yo, and many more. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit DerpyCon.com. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection, or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans, and we are doing our NWHL Tuesday, and as we get back into it, we're going to go into our second game, which was the Connecticut Whale versus the Buffalo Buttes, which took place at the Harbor Center in Buffalo on Sunday, October 23rd. The Connecticut Whale at the time were 1-1, and they fell to the Buffalo Buttes merely 2 weeks ago in their season opener. Rookie and NWHL Player of the Week Haley Skorupa returned to the Queen City with the Whale and looked to even the score with Buffalo, who is coming off of a hard-fought shootout loss against Boston this past weekend. Obviously, one of the biggest names that's coming out of the Connecticut Whale is the first Player of the Week, Haley Skorupa, after a four-point performance in her first-ever game, including her first professional hat trick. And then, of course, Grupa has a point on 6 of 8 total Whale goals thus far this season. And, of course, for the Buttes, their featured player was forward and Western New York native Emily Janisia, who has made herself an integral part of the Buffalo team with contributions at both ends of the ice. And now going into the first period, I actually get times for this game for what events happened, so I'm actually going to be able to bounce back and forth more evenly this time around. At 2:24 into the first period, the Connecticut Whale would get a goal by Nicole Connery, which would be assisted by Kelly Stack. Then at 2:43, the Whale would get a goal from Haley Skorupa, also at even strength, which would be assisted by Kelly Stack and Nicole Connery. And then at 3:08, Dana Trevino would score at even strength, assisted by Ivana Bilic and Sydney Rossler. And then at 4:32, the Connecticut Whale will get another goal from Haley Skorupa, assisted by Kelly Stack and Nicole Connery. So in the first 4.5 minutes, Haley Skorupa has got 2 goals, Nicole Connery has a goal and 2 assists, and Kelly Stack has 3 assists right off the bat to give the Buttes, or not the Buttes, the Connecticut Whale a 4-0 lead. Then at 10:32, Devin Skeets would be called for roughing. And then at 12:47, Elena Orlando of the Whale would be called for hooking. At 15:52, Emily Janisia of the Buttes would score at even strength, assisted by Lisa Chesson, to cut the lead down to 3. And then at 16:24, the Connecticut Whale would get another goal, this time from Kelly Stack at even strength, assisted by Kelly Babstock and Haley Skorupa, to give them the 5-1 lead going into the second period. So in this first period alone, Nicole Connery has a goal and 2 assists, Kelly Stack has a goal and 3 assists, and Haley Skorupa has 2 goals and an assist so far in this game, and it's just the first period. At the end of the first period, shots would be 14-10 in favor of the Whale over the Buttes. And overall, this was, good period for the Connecticut Whale. They got 5 goals on the board right away, give them a demanding lead going into the second period. But if you look at shots, you can see that the Buttes had 10 shots on goal. So while the Connecticut Whale were getting the goals, the Buffalo Buttes in themselves were getting the opportunities as well. They were only able to capitalize on 1 goal or 1 shot that went in the net for Emily Janiga. So Buttes have something forward to look to. They are building up a good momentum for themselves. It's just that for them, it was not the start that they were hoping to have in the first 5 minutes of the game. Then going into the second period at 5:26, Celeste Brown would be called for interference for the Connecticut Whale. Then at 9:10 for the Buffalo Buttes, Devin Skeets would score even strength with assisted by Megan Bozak. And then at 16:24, Buttes player Courtney Konechko would be called for hooking. And then at 19:33, Kelly Stedman would score even strength, assisted by Cheyenne D'Arcangelo and Harrison Brown, to give the Connecticut Whale a 5-3 lead over the Buttes going into the third period. Shots for the period were 9-4 in favor of the Buttes. This was obviously a much better period for the Buttes. They were able to keep things going in a upward swing for them. Got 2 goals on the board, cut the lead down to 2. They outshot the Whale 9-4 in the second period. The fact that they were able to hold the Whale down to 4 shots compared to the 14 that were given up in the first period is a massive improvement for the Buffalo Buttes and something really good to look at for them. Then going into the third period, 1:11 in, Shannon Doyle, the Whale, was called for body checking. And then at 4:28, Kelly Stack would be called for tripping. At 7:27, Kelly Stedman would get her second of the game, even strength, assisted by Courtney Konechko and Lisa Chesson, to cut the Connecticut Whale's lead to 1. However, at 12:39, Jordan Brickner would give the Whale a 6-4 lead, even strength, unassisted. But then at 13:56, Corinne Bowie would score her goal to give the Whale a 6-5 lead instead of the 2-goal lead that they had just gotten for themselves. And that goal would go unassisted. However, at 19:51, though, Kelly Babstock was able to score at even strength into the empty net, which was assisted by Nicole Costa, to give them a 7-5 win for the Buffalo, or for the Connecticut Whale over the Buffalo Buttes. So, overall, this was a great game. Obviously, for the Buffalo Buttes, not the start that they wanted going into this game. Especially in the first 5 minutes, but they were able to get better as the game went on. In the third period, shots were 9-5 in favor of the Buttes. Total was 28-23 in favor of the Buttes. So, overall, not the best 5 minutes, but after those 5 minutes, they were able to turn things around and almost steal this one from the Connecticut Whale. But the Whale were just a little bit better by getting those 2 goals in the third period, and if the Whale could have gotten maybe 1 more goal, it could have been a different story. But it is the Connecticut Whale defeating the Buffalo Buttes 7-5 in what was should be considered a very thrilling game. And just looking at some of the stats here for the players you had on the Connecticut Whale, you had Kelly Babcock with a goal and assist for 2 points. Then you had Haley Scarupa with 2 goals and assists for 3 points. And then you had Kelly Stack for 1 goal, 3 assists for 4 points. And Nicole Connery for 1 goal, 2 assists, and 3 points. And then on the Buttes, you had Lisa Chesson with 2 assists for 2 points. And that was like the key player for them who was able to build upon. But at the same time, you had Kelly Steadman, 2 goals. Emily Janiga, 1 goal. She got things going back in the right direction for the Buttes. Devin Skeets had a goal. Corinne Bowie had a goal. Megan Bozak had an assist. You know, Harrison Brown, Cheyenne D'Arcangelo, Courtney Krenichika all had assists. You know, Cheyenne D'Arcangelo and Devin Skeets and Kelly Steadman each had 6 shots each. So the opportunities were coming and the top players were trying to get things going for the Buffalo Buttes. And, you know, coming off of that tough 2-1 shootout loss, you know, maybe the Buttes came out a little flat-footed. But, you know, all 4 teams now are going to have the next 2 weekends off. So it'll be very interesting to see how these teams sit back, take a look at what they're able to accomplish in the beginning couple weeks of the season. And then, of course, you know, how they're going to refocus themselves going into the rest of the regular season moving forward. So definitely a good game for the Buttes and the Whale. Could have gone better for the Buttes if they had started off better. And now going into this little 2-week break that's happening in the NWHL, in the standings, the Boston Pride, after playing 4 games, are a perfect 4-0 with 8 points. Connecticut Whale, after 3 games, are 2-1-0 with 4 points. The Buffalo Buttes, after 4 games, are 1-2-0-1 with 3 points. And the New York Roaders are 0-3 to start the season. They have 0 points. Now, of course, some things to look at also is for the Boston Pride, their goals forward is 17, their goals against is 6, which is tells you about their stellar defense. But the New York Rivers, on the other hand, who are last place in the league, have 6 goals forward and 15 goals against, which kind of tells you that, you know, maybe their defense is an issue, their offense maybe isn't clicking the way they were hoping. So these 2 weeks will be very good for the New York Riveters to help them turn things around in order to have better results this season. So with that, obviously I got to pick my NWHL Player of the Week because the NWHL hasn't announced theirs. And I'm actually going to go with Kelly Stack of the Connecticut Whale with 1 goal, 3 assists for 4 points to help lead the Connecticut Whale in a 7-5 victory over the Buffalo Buttes. To me, that is the best player, in my opinion, this past weekend in the NWHL. And you had some close competition, too, of like Haley Scarupa, 2 goals and assists, another 3-point. You know, weekend for her, multi-point weekend for her. Alex Carpenter, the Boston Pride, a goal and 2 assists this past weekend. So you had a lot of players, but my pick is Kelly Stack. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to NWHL Tuesday. New interviews yet again. Like I said on yesterday's podcast, it's on me on this one. I understand what's going on. The NWHL, they've been trying to work with me on trying to set up the interviews, but due to outside factors that the NWHL has no control over and that I wish I had control over, which I'm currently working on now, it's been a fight to try to make this work out. We will have it work out somehow. For the next 2 NWHL Tuesdays, I don't know what's going on just yet, but I have ideas in mind. I'm going to pitch them to the NWHL. If they like it, we'll be doing that for the next 2 weeks. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can follow this podcast at Experience Hockey on Twitter, facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And as always, we want to thank our NWHL sponsor for this podcast, which is Southern Maryland Comic Con. Southern Maryland Comic Con, which is Sunday, November 13th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $10. Kids are free, and you can do this at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in Hollywood, Maryland. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to somd.com. And then, as always, we want to thank our main sponsor, which is the Till to Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The Till to Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till to Kill girls. From on Till to Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until Friday, when we do our NHL weekly recap, or week recap, and Caps games, we will see you on the ice.